Welcome back to this episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. Guess what? We have another community spotlight episode, and it is with, if you've been in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group at all, you know him as Eungju Kim, otherwise known as Sean, goes by Sean, and he's been in the group for a few years, just posting just some of the most incredible landscape images, some of the most incredible silhouette beach scapes, I guess you could call them. And, you know, he's been a guy who I've just been wanting to talk to because he's very interesting. I love talking to photographers, and, you know, he's somebody who I've wanted to talk to for quite a while. So this is a fantastic episode as far as how he got started in photography and, you know, just some of the things that he struggled with in the beginning and how he sees the world. This whole podcast, you know, when I interview, you know, photographers every day, what I want to learn is, how do you see the world? What makes your view of the world not different than everybody else, but like, what is it within you that makes you want to share what it is that you do? Because we can all capture different things. You know, there's plenty of videos on YouTube where they have the same subject, but different photographers, and everybody captures it a little bit differently. And I just want to dig deeper and find out why that is. You know, what is it that is making you photograph things differently? And, you know, Sean opens up a lot today, as far as, you know, how he got into photography. And I'm sure that it wasn't easy to do. It would be a pretty difficult story for me to tell, I think. And to hear him find a direction to go with his photography and, you know, obviously see where he's gone with it. And the things that he's been able to capture has just been absolutely wonderful. So if you enjoyed this interview, I would love for you to come join the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook community. On Facebook, obviously. If you do want to join, just go ahead and search Facebook for Beginner Photography Podcast. Come in. It's the safest place on the internet for new photographers to ask questions, share photos, get constructive criticism, and of course, just be a part of a caring community. So if that sounds like something that you're interested, feel free to find us on Facebook. I'd be happy to have you. I hope that you enjoy this community spotlight with Sean Eungju Kim. So really, since this is just kind of easy, I just want to know a little bit more about you as far as who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do.
My name is Sean. I am originally from South Korea. I moved here in 98 and went to school here, and we began to own a business, a cleaners business, back in 2003, somewhere there. And I just picked up my camera maybe about 3 years ago.
So yeah. Tell me how that happened, because you've been in the group for a few years, since the beginning of 2018, right?
Yes.
So, you know, and then since then you've just been gracing us with your amazing and incredible photos that everybody enjoys looking at. So what was it that got you started? You know, you said that you just kind of picked up a camera one day, but it doesn't just happen like that. Tell me, you know, what were your earliest influences in photography that kind of made you feel compelled to pick up that camera?
So it's kind of long and sad story behind it. So back in, I think, like end of my high school year, I just bought a just point and shoot camera just to shoot. Nothing about composition, nothing about color, none of that existed during the time. So just very close-up shots of my friends hanging out, drinking and things of nature. And I recently looked at all the album, the photos that I took in the past, and it's literally a close-up shot of them doing a foolish things, and it looked great. But during the time, you can tell that I had no sense of composition, or I could care less about those things. And then over time, I just stopped taking photos. And I went on a two-week journey doing a road trip from LA to New York on a tour bus, Korean tour bus. And I bought it was a very good smartphone camera, Nokia Lumia 920, I think that's the name of it. Mm-hmm. And I just began to take more photos. Sadly, if I was into photography then, I would come up with a lot more photos than what I had. And during the trip, I met somebody, met a girl, and she had a camera, Canon Rebel, which is what she gave me towards our end of our relationship. And I began to take photos with that. The reason why she gave me that camera is because she realized I had a very good eye. So whenever we go on a trip, people will come up to me and ask me to take photos of them. So I would not end up getting any photos of myself, but of others. But I didn't think none of that until I said, you know what, I'm going to just go buy a decent camera, which was Fuji X-E3. That was end of 2017, I think. And then the camera was too tiny for me, so I exchanged it to X-T2. And that's when I joined Beginner Photography Podcast. And ever since then, I consume all knowledge of photography books, podcasts, YouTube videos, you name it. I was just consuming everything. And then everything started to click. I was like, okay, this is why this composition worked, because of the color, leading line, S line, whatever. So
those early days, you know, let's step back for a moment and talk about those, right? You got these photos of your friends, you know, in high school, you took a big trip, which made you, you know, invest in a better camera system, essentially, which was a cell phone at the time. And then you started taking photography more seriously once you got that Rebel series camera, just, you know, taking more photos and kind of understanding a little bit more about how photography works. So then when you got the story, if I get the timeline right, you bought, say, the X-T2, right, say the beginning of 2018 or the very end of 2017?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. 2018.
And then right away, like, your first photos in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group are, like, photos from the top of a mountain, just like looking out these beautiful vistas. So tell me where this relationship of nature came for you as far as photography goes, because most people get a camera and they're like, well, I'm going to shoot my daily life. I'm going to shoot, you know, I'm going to photograph my kids and all these sorts of things. And you're like, no, we're going to the top of the mountain.
During the relationship I had with my ex-girlfriend, we went through Sequoia, Grand Canyon, just a bunch of places together, and we just take lots of photos. And I think I always liked hiking. I always hiked. I always went to not like far away, but locally, I would go look for places to hike. But I would never take photos until I met my ex. Yeah. And after we broke up, that's all I did. I went on a hike because, you know, you're so happy about breaking up. You had to hike.
You went the opposite way. Most people are sad after they break up. But okay, this is one of those relationships.
Gotcha. It was a very sad moment. So I went on a journey of hiking, especially like at nighttime. Because you know how like when you go through a very sad stage in your life, you kind of feel dead inside. So what ended up happening is by hiking at night, it spooks you. You realize there is actually mountain lions, there are coyotes, you know, animals out there.
Snakes, plenty of snakes.
Snakes. It doesn't really intimidate that much. But I would say bigger animal would. So it kind of made me feel alive being out there. And then this was during the time of me having some battle going on within my own faith too. So yeah, this was a camera in a sense, photography in a sense, kind of helped me. It was a gift. It was a gift.
How so? Talk to me more about that, because there's a lot of people who can go out and they can take a photo, but I really feel like you're somebody who, you know, if we look at some of your earliest photos to where you are today, I see the consistency throughout your body of work that I've seen. But also, I don't think that many people are going to come home and maybe study their photos, see what they like, see what they don't like, and then go back out readjust and then shoot for better photos, where I really feel like you've done that. So when you say that photography has helped you, tell me, in a sense, you know, how did you, what areas of photography were you trying to progress through that helped you kind of get through the stage? Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
Great question. So you know how when I'm pretty sure you have a background image on your computer, right?
I do. It's the standard Apple. Actually, I don't know what mountain it is, but it's Yosemite? Beautiful. And it's no, it's not. It's like orange, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. It's a landscape photo. Okay. So yeah, I don't know what mountain it is, but I love it.
So earlier during the time when I don't know exactly when, but I remember looking for a specific image for my background photo, but I did this throughout my owning my own desktop that I made. I couldn't find a photo that I really like, but there are a lot of good photos, and I couldn't really figure out why I didn't like certain images. Right now I could, but my background image was always just blank, blue screen. That's it. Because I didn't like none of the images. It's just very distracting images. But now I could figure out why those photos were distracting. And it's interesting because you can take a lot of good, beautiful photos, but it's just beautiful photo. It doesn't speak to you. It just is. And I think just throughout my journey in photography, finding the beauty of what's there sort of was a key for my own journey, I guess. What's beautiful within my stage of sadness? What's beautiful within this like ugly, chaotic scene that I have right in front of me? Figuring those things out was a positive way for me to find, you can say, the true beauty of my journey, I guess. Yeah. So I was like very, I was pretty aggressively seeking out for those things. So I think that's why I was really going out like literally every night to take images. Yeah.
So what were some of those things in the beginning that once you finally decided to, up your game, if that's the right term, you know, by getting that X-T2 and going out and shooting, what were some of those earliest things that you realized, oh my gosh, I've been doing, you know, X wrong about photography all this time, and I enjoy this part much more?
I don't think I've ever had that moment.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think so. It just, the camera's so pretty.
We're talking about Fuji cameras here. I'm right there with you. I get it.
I was just searching for a camera. I was looking at Nikon, Canon. Didn't really think about Sony at all because I didn't think Sony existed during the time. But I looked at Fuji camera. I was like, wow, that is cute. That is way too cute. So retro. So I had to buy it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. let's I think I phrased my question totally wrong there. I suppose from the technical side of like actually shooting, you know, there's a lot of mistakes that we make early on when we're taking photos. Like, as you said earlier, when you were photographing your friends in high school, there was no focus on composition or lighting or nothing. You look at that photo and you can tell like, oh, this is what I did. You know, this is why this image doesn't work. But today, when you go out, you have more of an eye. You're looking for something specific. Where do you think that change happened?
I guess when I realized some of the photos that I took was boring.
How so?
Just doesn't make sense. Like, you look at the photo, you're like, okay, it's a photo. But then you have a photo that says, wow, that tells like million stories. Look at their expression. Like, those things started to click. And then you, once those things started to click, you started to seek out for those things more and more. Like some of people's expression, knowing their body languages, learning their body languages as you're photographing them, and standing at the right location, composition, so that that brings up more story and their face expression more. So those kind of things, I think it just began to start gradually happen.
Okay, so let's talk about the landscape side of things, right? You know, we're talking about – no, you know what? I'm sorry. Let's continue to talk about humans here, because I think that, you know, when I think about you in the group, I think of landscape images, right? And then it kind of – or at least top of mountains. And then it sort of transitioned into beautiful beach vistas, right? We don't see too many mountaintops anymore, sure. Unfortunately. But we sure. do see occasionally photos of people who you meet on the street, and there for a while I think you said that you were shooting with a Rebel and like a 50 mil lens just to go out and just shoot, and a lot of those photos that you were posting were photos of just people on the street. And when I went back and did a little research within the group, you had won the photo of the month contest back in April of 2018. So pretty much like right after you got started in the group. And the photo that you had was of this the skater
woman.
On
yes
this woman. It was a silhouette, a beautiful sunset, and in the background was the Santa Monica Pier.
Yes.
And you had said that you took the photo without her knowledge, but then afterwards you showed the photo to her. And then you guys became great friends. And then looking at that, have you ever had any, I guess, talk to me about your relationship with photographing people and interacting with them versus, I think, the kind of traditional street photography style of just being totally hidden and not wanting to be seen, and I'm just going to do my own thing here. Did that question make sense?
Yeah, yes. So generally speaking, I don't really go up to them and I tell them I took a photo of them. But I do take a lot of majority of my photos at the beach are all candids. But if I know I caught like something awesome, I go gently tap their shoulder. Excuse me. Could I show you what I just took? And they're like, sure. California people are pretty loose. So once I show it to them, majority of times they're very impressed. I can tell you a short story of what happened last week. I took a photo of this couple holding a torch. I don't know if you've seen the photo. And I showed them the image. They loved it, but they haven't seen the final image. So I processed it over the weekend. I think I sent it over to them on Monday. And the gentleman, I guess he's some type of marketing director up in Seattle, and they're just vacationing here. And we just been going back and forth about him wanting a huge metal print at his house. Mm. And he also wants it for his mom and his dad. And I guess they have a club for that type of meeting, torch type of meeting. And the clubs want to buy the metal prints.
Wow.
So those kind of experiences I had, it is a little bit different than traditional like street photography type, because what I'm trying to do right now here is, you know, I never know if I'm going to continue to stay here in California or not, you know. But mountains, there are mountains everywhere unless I go to
not in Indiana. Places. Don't come to Indiana. There's no mountains here. It's very flat. It's boring.
Yeah. So I'm trying to document as much of beach scene as much as I can, so I can have those photos to myself. And I'm actually hoping to make a potentially a photo book for myself, or I could make several more and then try to sell those books, but just have it documentation for my journey, I guess. Yeah,
I see. So that was the decision that you made as far as why you're going to stop getting up at 4 a.m. and go hiking.
Oh, I want to go hiking. I want to go hiking. I want to go to the mountains. I want to breathe the fresh air. I don't want to breathe the salt air. But knowing the fact that I have such an easy access, it's only like 5 minute drive to the beach.
Yeah.
Why would I spend 2 hours of driving and then go hiking and come back? And I only come with maybe like one, maybe two, or never, or not at all.
Images.
But yes, mm-hmm. Images. But if I go to the beach, I know I will, even if I don't get any images, hey, I saved gas.
So we're looking at this as a bit of a time save as well as...
In a way, yeah. Yeah. And I really liked it. You know, the funny thing is my dad really hates my photos that I take at the beach.
What? Why?
Yeah. Yeah. He said it's he doesn't understand why people are so small. They're in the corner. It makes him sad, you know. And I said, Dad, maybe I am sad. No. Have you ever thought of that? And he goes, oh, that's too much. You know? But it's good. I really like his heavy criticism because it helps me to think, because some people think like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah.
That's really interesting. You know, when I look at your photos, I don't, obviously, you know, I see the tiny people and like this beautiful landscape, but what I see is just like how big Earth is, and like, look at how beautiful this is. Like, there's so much. We are so small in this world. That, you know, that I don't want to say that we're insignificant. We're not insignificant. But like the sometimes, you know, people can get in our heads of like we can do this. We are powerful. But then really, if you just take a moment and look at how big this Earth is, and this is just like a tiny rock in our solar system, you know, like that feels very empowering to me. And it's really interesting to hear your dad's take is on the opposite spectrum there.
So interesting thing is, I don't know how the listener is going to take this. My perspective, but it is my perspective, is on my first post on Instagram, I did mention that I want to start to take images that has huge surroundings, sky, landscape, and tiny people.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I wanted to do that is because when we focus ourselves, the surrounding seems very small, but when we focus on something bigger, our problem seems to be small. Our you know, depression or whatever seems, like you said, insignificant. Because my focus currently is, in a way, that I do want to glorify God as I'm a Christian. And I want to show that through my images, how small humans are and how great our God is in that sense. So that I want to put that in the perspective in the image to show comfort in a, what my dad said, your photo looks very sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you're right. That's my point.
Oh. There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar. Oh, interesting. Try to bring comfort. So talk to me a little bit more about that, because I feel like I kind of understand it, but I want to hear it from you. You know, you said that you wanted to put comfort in images that look sad.
There is a discomfort when you put a certain subject in a corner mm-hmm. of the photo. It just doesn't feel, you don't feel comforted in a sense. If they're right in the center of the image, that speaks volume, and it's very, it seems balanced. But when you put subjects in a corners, it doesn't seem balanced. But yet, trying to find that balance with the huge surrounding, it's a challenge. Mm. And I think that's what I'm trying to do. And if you look at like most of my Instagram images that I have, there is a subject whose silhouette looking toward a light, looking toward the plane that's far away, flying away from the surfer or whatever. So there is always a leading line from the subject to the light. Mm-hmm. So darkness to the light. Darkness to a hope. So in that light to a, yeah, in that sense.
Ah.
And I think like this image, can you see it?
Yes. I can see it, yes.
Yeah. So it's like little 3-4 surfers, but there's a huge ray going off.
Yeah.
So something like that.
So I would love to know more about your relationship with light, because, I think, are you pretty exclusively natural light?
Yes, unless I get hired by, it's really weird to say that hired by people who wants me to take a photo of their wedding or engagement shoot or quinceañera. I don't really have a lot of experience of getting hired to do an event shoot, but I do have a lot of experience doing event shoot at the church, which I volunteer. Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, and there's lots of stage lighting there as well.
Yes,
yeah.
But I don't. Okay. With that, I don't really take my own flash.
Sure.
But
gotcha.
But for these, like for the past quinceañera that I covered about, what was it 4 weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
I did take my off-camera flash with the
speed
octobox
stand. Oh yes.
Yes, I took that with it. I talked to the pastor because quinceañera's her grandpa is the pastor of the church.
Ah.
So I said, could I use this here? He goes, oh, do whatever you need. I was like, right on.
Yeah.
And I took a bunch of photos there with the off-camera flash. No one had any issues. I'll literally put the strobe right next to them. Of course, you won't see that in a photo. And the images came out great. You know, the amazing thing with that is, I delivered six photo albums mm-hmm. to them. And the daughter, they're a customer here at the cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter came in and she brought in a bunch of dry cleaning and she's like, I love my photo album. I sleep with it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I was like, oh, right on, right on. So in that event, I did use the off-camera flash a lot. Mm-hmm. And thanks to your course. That actually your course was the beginning of figuring out how to use flash. Mm-hmm. But it took me a while to start watching those videos because I wasn't really interested in the flash photography. But I do remember how you said that you're gonna put a course if anybody wanna pitch in to be a tester.
Yeah, at the time, yeah, you were a beta tester for sure.
But I didn't test.
You signed up, but you didn't test. Yeah.
Yeah, it was sitting.
But you finally took control and you went through the course and it helped you out, you said?
Oh, big time. Oh, wonderful. Because if I had just my own set of knowledge and start doing a search on how to do photography course or the off-camera flash or on-camera mm-hmm. flash course, I think I would be lost in how to do a correct search. But mm-hmm. you gave so much knowledge within those videos, it helped me to figure out, okay, since I'm lacking here, I need to do more search here and figure out how they're doing it rather than I don't know where to start kind of thing.
Right. It's kind of like photography where it seems simple. How do I take pictures? But then once you start Googling it, you realize I actually have no idea what I'm talking about here. Like, I'm so not well-versed in this world that once you start to get a little knowledge, it starts to make a lot more sense. So I'm good. Yes. I'm very glad that the course helped you out. But I do want to talk about, once again, your relationship with light when it comes to natural light and silhouettes, because I feel like you master them. I feel like you really, truly master silhouettes. You do a fantastic job. Obviously, it's real nice to have a very strong backlight with the sure. sun, come sunset time. But even when I was looking at some of your earliest, mountainscape photos, you always focused on the light, and whether that be very early in the morning and lots of atmosphere, and we can see different layers of mountain ranges, I suppose mm-hmm. we could see. You always, I felt like, had a very strong understanding of light. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that? Like, was there a time when you realized the importance of light, or was it just more organic than that?
I think it was organic, because even now, trying to figure out how all these things work technically, I don't think I have that understanding, but seeing the scenery itself and knowing how it's gonna work, I just follow through what's there. Mm-hmm. I think that's how it is. I mean, even with the silhouette at the beach, I can't control the beach. I can't control people to stay here, stand there. Then it's not natural. I think my eye just began to develop what's good and what's bad image. Mm-hmm. So over time, it's just exercising my own vision, and then putting that into practice. And that, a lot of times, let's say I took like 50 photos during the sunset time, I'll go home, chances are I'll have like one image for sure, sometimes none. But then I try to figure out, okay, why did this not work? Was it lack of composition? Is this too much distraction? Is a person too small? It's all those things I try to figure out. And you're cropping things like here and there. And of course, thanks to the medium format camera, you can crop it as much as you can.
Yes.
So there's a benefit of that. Sometimes even though I thought it was a bad image, by cropping much, it's like, okay, that works. So that kind of helps.
Interesting. How often would you say that, how close is the image that you get in camera versus the image that you deliver?
What do you mean?
Like when, you know, you talked about cropping there a lot. How close is the image? Like when you, when you're finished with an image and you're like ready to post it on Instagram or in the Facebook group, how close is that image to the actual image that you captured?
Oh,
so I guess how
oh,
much?
So it's pretty rare that I crop.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times that I do crop quite a bit. But mm-hmm. it's I would say about 90% of the times, it's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only difference is maybe like it's a square crop or 4x5 or 4x3, 3x4.
What about those, like the actual editing of your images as far as like, you know, exposure, all these things? How much, talk to me a little bit about your editing workflow.
A lot of times it works completely as how it is, just mm-hmm. by converting to black and white and then controlling the highlights and shadows a little bit here and there. That's a finish. But mm-hmm. sometimes by adding a little bit of masking, it helps to bring out the light more. So for instance, if I'm taking photo of a sunlight in the background, chances are the strip of the beach, the water in the ocean, it's kind of darker.
Yeah.
So what I do is I'll mask the ocean and then bring up the highlight a little bit to bring more life to a silhouette person in the background or the one in the front, because otherwise the person is kind of blend in with the ocean itself, so it's, you can't really see the person itself. So those kind of things I adjust here and there. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want, if somebody's already small, you don't want them blending into the ocean for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I want to know what you're struggling with right now. Like, what's something in photography that you struggle with on a daily basis to go out and shoot?
I'm kind of bored out.
Really? You're feeling kind of bored with photography?
No. I kind of feel bored with this taking photos of small people.
Oh, I see.
Because kind of it's, I'm going to a similar location over and over and trying to figure out those things. And if they're not there, I can't really take a photo of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out, okay, what may be more interesting for me. And then not move on from what I'm doing, but add on to what I'm doing. So I'm mm-hmm. trying to figure that balance, maybe going back to like taking more landscape. But even doing landscape, I mean, I get props for people who do landscape for a living. Man, landscape photography gets so boring.
How so? Tell me more.
I mean, you can enjoy the beauty of the mountain scenery, the beach scenery, the pier, everything. But at the same time, when you do things over and over and over, it just gets bored.
Mm-hmm.
Even I'm sorry to say, but even the beautiful scenery gets boring. You would rather just capture with your eyes than pulling out your cameras to take a photo of it and then edit it. Because I think what happens is, as a photographer, you get so saturated with so many beautiful photos. So I think for me, I need to keep finding something new for me to photograph. Otherwise, I'll get bored out of it.
And what do you think that is?
I don't know.
You still got to figure it out. So obviously, like this past year, you did a lot of photographing things like protests with a lot more people in them.
Right.
Did this give you some sort of a boost in excitement when it came to photographing?
In the beginning, it did, but towards the end, not so. I really did enjoy taking photos of people being very vibrant in their environment. And, you know, you'd be taking your camera right onto their face. They're so focused on what they're doing. They can care less if you're taking mm-hmm. photos or whatever. So that kind of gave me a little bit more understanding of, okay, what journalists would do. But at the same time, I can definitely tell that even those type of photography, you can get bored out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how many protests I've been to. I've been to so many of them.
Just in the past year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I drove all the way up to Sacramento.
Oh, really?
Take one event. And that was crazy. That one was real crazy. But if you tell me to do that now, I probably wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. You mean just photograph a type of protest?
Yeah, I mean, so if you tell me there is a huge protest going on in Sacramento, and then would you go? If you ask me that, I'll say no.
Right. Do you think that's because you're bored of it, or because
I think
right
so.
Now?
I think so. I'm kind of okay with that journey. But hey, you never know. If something happened again, I may pick up my camera and start shooting for the protest or whatever.
Yeah, that's like a 7-hour drive for you, right?
Yeah, more than 7 hours, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Was it worth it though, going to that event?
Oh yeah, that was a huge, that was a crazy experience. That was a great experience. There's 13,000 people just piled up together.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was so passionate.
You had mentioned, I want to ask, because I just remembered, towards the beginning of last year, you had mentioned that you were thinking about making a book of what 2020 was to you. How's that going?
So that may happen maybe like 10, 20 years when you're a grandpa.
I hope that I am not a grandpa in the next 10 years. Oh, my gosh.
20 years, okay. Maybe 30 years. I'm not in a rush to make the book. But I think even just having one made and maybe I'll give it to a library or whatever, and then they can have a short documentation of what happened in 2020. Yeah.
I got to ask why. I got to ask why. Why wait so long?
Good question. Oh. Well, I think one of the main reasons is maybe because there's so many photos that was taken last year, and there's nothing unique to it. Uniqueness.
Oh, you mean
it.
In general or by you?
By in general. Mm-hmm. There's so it's the 2020 protest photography was so saturated. Even if I make a photo now, I think people will care less. Mm-hmm. About what the book says. However, if that photo was presented maybe 20, 30 years down the road, people may see it and be like, oh, I do remember that. It will kind of give a different perspective. It'll bring them bad memories, maybe good memories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure bad memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it will just bring back a lot of memories to people. So that's why I think I would like to create the book 20, 30 years later. Because it will give a very different perspective from very different people's beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What is it that inspires you to go out and take photos? Why do you keep doing it?
Great question. So this is another spiritual journey for me, is that finding beauty in chaos that brings real joy within me. Because I do believe in the chaotic world. I will say in a hopeless world, God finds beauty in his people. I believe that wholeheartedly. And whenever I feel down, that's my hope. And I see that within the photos. Even those things are chaotic, I can find beauty within those chaos. And I do believe that's how God sees me. Yeah, so that brings a different perspective and different purpose in my life.
So it's all about trying to find the beauty that's in chaos.
Right, because I'm chaos. I'm the one who chaos is in chaos, and trying to find light in that.
I was going to say, maybe you should shoot more weddings because they're always very chaotic and you can always create beauty
Hey,
there.
man, I tell you, I covered one wedding. Oh, man, the demand that they had, I was just like, can I go home now? And I can't believe you guys do that. You're, that's your career. That's your bread and butter.
Maybe you just got a bad wedding. I don't know.
Well, it wasn't bad. It was just the demand that they had.
Right.
And I can't imagine because there were people that I know. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine for the people that you don't know.
No, that's easier.
That makes it easier?
So much easier. Listen, for me, if it's somebody who I don't know, you can kind of, and I was talking with Heather Lawton about this the other day. It's like you can kind of become a different person. You can be that person who, at least for me, I'm pretty easygoing, you know, whatever happens, happens. But at a wedding, you're kind of looked at as the professional and you have to take charge. And you can be that person who is like, we're going to do this. You know, you can be that, you can be helpful to them by providing direction and do all these things. And if, like I had a wedding a few years ago where this couple was not the right couple for me. They were not the right couple for me, but I don't remember how they found me, but they were like, no, we don't, we're not interested in engagement photos. An engagement session is where I learn more about the couple, how they interact with each other, and how I can provide something for them, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't want the engagement session. Okay, that's fine. They just wanted the wedding day coverage. And then I sent out a questionnaire a month before a wedding that's like, hey, give me some more details here, you know, just to confirm where it is and what time you want me to show up or whatever. They never filled it out. Despite me trying to like, hey, you know, what time do you want me there at your wedding? Like, you got me there for 8 hours. Like, what time do you want me to show up? And I never got a response. So the day before the wedding, I had to be like, hey, so I guess I'll be there at like 10 a.m. because, you know, I don't know, like when you're getting ready and stuff. So I show up at 10 a.m. And sure enough, she was like, oh, you're here early. And I was like, well. Of course I am, you know, and for some reason everybody's in a very bad mood and I could never figure out why. But by the time that my coverage was going to end was right when the ceremony was about to start. And I was like, look, I tried, you know, I really tried to get an answer out of you and I didn't get anything. And that's kind of one of those situations where, you know, if that would happen with somebody who I knew, who I was comfortable with, I'd be like, look, you know, it's fine. Like, I'll be here. It's okay. Like, I'm already here, you know, with the camera anyway. I might as well photograph. But because this was somebody who clearly didn't value, I guess, what it was that I was doing.
Sure.
It was much easier to say, like, hey, look, I tried all these times. I now have to make a decision. And that is, you know, if you want me to, like, I'll stay for the end of the ceremony. You know, you hired me to shoot your wedding, but I'm not going to stay any longer than that unless you request for me to do that. And in which case I'm going to send you an invoice after the fact, you know, but that's on you, you know? And for me, it's a whole lot easier to do that with people who I don't know than people who I am comfortable with. Gotcha. So I would much rather photograph people who I don't know. So I think that if you were to try to do something like that, it would
I can definitely see fun in the wedding. Because you know you're going
and
to
there's
a
cake.
Very,
every day there's cake. Yeah,
that you're going into an environment where it's like very vibrant, happy moments. You know, parents crying, daughter crying, capturing that moment, and you were having that in your file and delivering it. You know, they may see it and see it beautiful, but at the same time, if they see those photos down the road, it will have greater meaning to them. So I can definitely see the benefit of a shooting wedding.
So do you think that you might try it again?
Yeah. I mean, if people want to hire me.
That's the next step. That's a whole nother interview. That's a whole nother discussion right there.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we're kind of coming into the end of our time here. I got one last question for you, and that is, what is it that you love so much about photography? I know that I asked you, you know, what inspires you, and you said finding, you know, beauty in the chaos. But when it comes to the technical side of photography, what is it that you love?
My camera.
Just looking at it and how beautiful it is.
Oh, this thing is huge. Look at how big it is.
It's like a VHS tape. It's giant.
Beast. But you know, I love this camera. And I love looking at that camera. And I love holding it. And of course, I love. You want to hear the sound of the click?
Oh, I don't. I don't want to because it's going to make me go out and buy one right now. It sounds like film. It sounds like film.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. So beautiful.
So, so I love, I mean, sure, people say the cameras don't really matter. I love my camera. I've had it for about over a year, and I still love my camera.
Yeah. That's a good feeling, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that doesn't get talked about enough. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I love capturing the beauty or whatever. And you and me are like, have you seen this thing? Like, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's fun to hold. Yeah. It's great to hold. I love to hear that. Well, Sean, I guess I was wrong. I do have one last question for you. Do you have any advice for anybody who is just getting started in photography, who's kind of hoping to find their way?
Go to a local library and buy a bunch of books. I mean, borrow a bunch of books and read them. And even if it doesn't make any sense to you right at the moment, just consume it. And once you begin to consume, and don't even bother, like for me, don't even bother going out to practice what you learn. Just consume it, do what you want to do with your camera. And then over time, things will start to clicking. And once things start to click, you'll have more question about those things. Go back to the book and read it again, and it will make sense 100%, and you will master whatever you need to master. And you don't even have to worry about it. So free education, go to the library. I probably read every single book that's in my local library, and I told them they need to update their books. It's bad. It's really bad. It's like from the 90s.
Did you have a favorite book?
You recently did an interview with this gentleman. Not recently. His name is Owen?
Chris Owens?
Yes.
Yes.
He wrote a book called People Photo?
Pictures. People
Pictures. Mm-hmm. That was a good book.
Yes.
Because he doesn't really go into absolute detail about technical aspect, but how to engage. And that was really great. Because every time I feel like I'm going up to a stranger or somebody that I want to take photographs, sometimes I feel like I'm just barking, not talking. And he gave a very great perspective on how to engage and how to be more intimate with the person who's in front of you. So that really helped me big time. And I think that book should be read by like everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought it. I got a copy. Is it Authentic Portraits?
No, I think it's called People Picture.
Photo. Oh, People Pictures. There it is. I do have it.
And I think you can buy, actually you can get the free ebook right now, I think.
Oh, yeah. On his website, perhaps. You can definitely grab something from him. And, I mean, he is a wonderful resource. I had the pleasure of meeting him. Yeah, at
He's
Imaging.
Super nice.
And he is just like – and if anybody follows him on Instagram – do you follow him on Instagram?
No. I didn't know he had Instagram.
Oh, my gosh. He is like every single day rides his bike up a mountain. He lives in Santa Barbara. And I think he goes on like a 20-mile bike ride every single day. And I'm like, how do you do this? This is insane. But, yeah, I mean, a wonderful guy, great educator, and obviously very knowledgeable. So that's awesome to hear. Right. Well, before I let you go, Sean, can you let listeners know, obviously, where they can find you and see more of your work?
You know, there's a funny story behind that because I don't have a business card. I don't have a photography website. So some customers come in at the cleaners. They'll say, well, how can my friends find you? Or how can somebody find you to do the photo? And this is what I tell them. I have to find you first.
Okay, tell me
that's
about
how,
that. You can't just leave it at that. Tell me the reasoning behind this. Tell me what you mean.
That means they have to be a customer at the cleaners. They have to come in, and then they have to tell me what's going on, and see if I can, because a lot of time people will ask me, hey, can you cover for this photo? Can you do a portrait for me? And generally of those who are hiring me are people I already know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's because I'm not really seeking out to become a professional photographer yet. I'm just doing these for recreation, mm-hmm. in a sense. But maybe one day I may make it as a full-on professional work. But only thing that I have that is available on internet, it's Instagram. Sean Kim Style.
There we go. Yeah. Perfect. I'm going to link to that, obviously, in the show notes of this as well. Sean, man, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything that you did as far as your journey into photography. After all these years, I had a great time chatting with you today, finally getting you in front of the camera. And I look forward to seeing what you come up with in the future and, you know, what you can discover that is no longer boring to you. But that's a pretty poorly phrased question. So I hope that you find something here in the future that is very interesting for you. And whatever it is, I look forward to seeing it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.
You are a staple within the group, and I had a great time talking with you today, and I'm glad that I didn't call you Steve on accident like I did that one time. So
it's all good. This is awesome, man. It's all good. I really appreciate the conversation, and I'm really glad that we finally got to chat.
Of course, me as well. Hopefully next time I make it out to California, maybe we can go out and shoot or something. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, you know, people were talking about maybe having a like photography,
like a meetup outing, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I would love to do that. Yeah, in fact, I'll tell you what. In 2020, so like the end of 2019, I thought 2020, I really want to do live events. Like I want to go and I want to travel and I want to meet these people and I want to do some sort of like photography workshop. And the first one that I had planned was for, I believe it was for April, and it was in Cincinnati because the there's several people there, but the main reason was because the Dodgers were playing the Reds, and I was like, well, that would give me a good reason to go to Cincinnati. That'll be perfect, and then we'll make something around this. But of course, you know, everything got shut down, so I thought, well, I can't do this anymore. So. Looking forward to the future, you know, maybe next year will be the year that, you know, live events will be a thing and we'll be able to get together and, you know, meet in person. I really think that would be a fantastic thing. But this is kind of my, not substitution, but like doing these types of interviews kind of gets me excited to do something like that because it's the community interaction, you know?
And I think the way that you engage with people and the way you teach, you know, because I took one course, you're a good teacher. So I think a lot of, especially the beginners, will learn a lot from you for sure.
Well, that's the hope. You know, I truly believe that everybody can take a great photo and I just want to help them get there. So,
yeah.
But again, man, I'm gonna let you go because I know that it's been way more than the 10 minutes that you budgeted before getting out to shoot.
Okay.
So again, thank you so much.